the adventures of Mapleberry begin. Chapter 1. The magical Mapleberry Forest is discovered for the very first time. Deep in the Mapleberry Forest, there's a world unseen that's been hiding a precious little secret in its woods evergreen. It was discovered by a quiet man with a worn-out shoe, just a humble traveler passing through. Mr. Butterbloom seemed like a plain man, but inside his mind he had so many plans. His father would say that plans don't earn, but serving your country brings a decent return. So off to the army he went with a sigh. His father's words echoed, "It's an honor so high." But deep in his heart, he yearned for much more. A world full of wonders he longed to explore. He trudged to the base camp with courage to spare. His older brother Puddles was already there. The bushes were tricky, the map was no good, and so poor Mr. Butterbloom got lost in the wood. He could barely see, the trees were so tight. He pushed branches aside to clear his sight. Then, finally, trees became less and branches few, until it totally cleared, revealing an unimaginable view. A beautiful meadow bathing in the sun. Beauty and awe all wrapped into one. Surrounded by hills, valleys, and streams, what caught his eye was beyond his dreams. A mighty pile of golden sand in a meadow where wild flowers usually stand. A most pleasant smell was all around. Sniffing about, behold, a forest tree he found. A mighty river encircled it all. Home at last, Mr. Butterbloom's heart made the call. "No building zone," a sign did proclaim. Mr. Butterbloom sighed. Oh, what a shame. Curious why, he tracked down the owner to learn why this land was left a loner. Rainy seasons turned the space into a lake, flooding for months, a terrible fate. There were many problems, all of them true. But Mr. Butterbloom saw the opportunity it drew. The world saw problems and turned away. But those issues lowered the price to pay. So, with a twinkle in his eye and a skip in his step, Mr. Butterbloom knew he had treasure to prep. But first out of the forest, he had to find his way, or forever in the woods his body might stay. When he finally arrived at the army base, he took his brother Puddles to see the place. For his brother was a builder with plans galore and could create things never built before. Their father was unhappy, but Butterbloom tried to explain his vision with nothing to hide. Time doesn't come in endless supply, so what we do with it is a priority high. Those who farm best should farm and sell to the rest, pay a price, and get a builder whose work is the best. Those who raise cattle should let their milk and beef expand and buy their veggies from farmers with the best fertile land. That's how we work together as a team, each creating the best from our passion and dreams. Then Dad asked, "So my son, what are your skills? What can you do that can pay the bills?" "Dad, my best work is the ideas that sprout from my mind, things no one else thinks about. Everyone sees what this place can't offer, but I see the resources, a hidden coffer. This land has value just lying around. Look at the forest. That's firewood, paper, furniture, and doors. The river's flow can generate power to fill battery stores. And have you ever seen so much sand? It's the key to glass, which is in high demand. Tall glass buildings with foundations high and grand, in rainy seasons, they'd still stand and turn this place into a magical land. And what in tall glass towers will you make? The thing I've been dreaming of since I was 8. The recipes I've perfected, the best cookies I'll make. His dad shrugged, worried by what was at stake. Dad, you've lived your life. Let me try mine. This place needs my touch. It'll be just fine. If it fails, I'll join the army, like you say. Until then, let me and Puddles build a legacy our way. His father agreed. The deal was set. They walked away from the army with no regret. A business plaza raised above floodwaters high, with glass buildings reaching into the sky. Chapter 2. Mr. Butterbloom secures a loan. To build a factory and a candy town, he needed more money, so he looked around. Mrs. Pigglesworth at Piggy Saver Bank was able to lend him a helping hand. I need some more funds, he said with a frown, to build a factory in a nearby soon-to-be town. She asked, have you thought about taking a loan? Mr. Butterbloom raised a brow, feeling quite alone. There are ways to get money, you see. Work and earn, save, or borrow for a fee. But why would someone lend their savings to me? To earn more money, that's the key. You borrow now and pay back a bit more. It's interest. The extra is what they're working for. You get what you need. They earn on the side. A fair little system, if wisely applied. But what if I can't repay the loan? We discuss the risks. You're not alone. You can sell your land, or work to pay, or extend the time. There's always a way. Mr. Butterbloom thought, I have land and labor strong. But how much will they lend, and for how long? Mrs. Pigglesworth found 3 who would lend, each with some savings they were eager to spend. The first wanted 10%, the second just 8. The third, happy with 7, sealed Butterbloom's fate. With lenders competing, the rate came down. Mrs. Pigglesworth smiled. She'd earned her crown. She secured the funds, negotiated the fee, and Mr. Butterbloom's dream was no longer a plea. With money in hand, his factory arose, his heart full of joy for the path he chose, thanks to Mrs. Pigglesworth, who brought them as one. A candy town would rise, and a dream had begun. But there was still one obstacle in their way. Where were they all going to stay? Chapter 3. Puddles Huddles. Before Puddles joined the army, he was a builder, so wise. Old houses he could fix, to everyone's surprise. Mr. Puddles was the best to solve their current plight, so he walked the land from morning until night. He returned with a furrowed brow, an idea strange and new. We'll build a U-shaped house, one that floats with the tide, too. No house can withstand the flood built on land, but ours will rise with the water, just like we planned. When the river swells and waters strive, this house won't sink. It'll float and thrive. Anchored strong with chains, it'll stay in one place. During flood season, it'll be our safe space. A huddle, we'll call it, to fit with my name, an idea so bright it's worthy to claim. Mr. Butterbloom was thrilled, but warned, we should start right away. The rainy season's coming, and we must be ready before that day. Till then, they needed shelter, a place to rest their heads. Their father said, it's not far away, and I have a spare bed. In the attic, stood a double bed, but the roof panels were loose and bare. There was bird poop everywhere, even on the bed they'd have to share. Sharing a look, they said loud and clear, "Thanks, Dad, but we're not staying here." So they camped in tents and worked fast and hard, determined to finish before the floodwater start, grinding and hammering, drilling away, building their huddles come night or day. Their floating huddles soon became their pride, magical floating homes that gently rode the tide. Working double shifts, they made it their quest to finish each one before the flood's final test. The rain poured down. The waters did rise. But their floating homes brought joyful cries. "Look," they cheered, "we're floating in the tide. Now let's build a town where we can all reside." Chapter 4, A Tale of the Rare Forest Tree. But first, a name they needed for the land they own, as it would soon be the place they called home. The old owners chuckled and teasingly told, "It was once named the place where homes die," in stories of old. But the brothers sought something true to the land, and the previous owners lent them a hand. The forest they owned had trees quite rare, with sweet, black, syrupy fruits beyond compare. These trees grow nowhere else, with fruit in the spring, but perfuming the air was an all-year thing. It smelled of rose water, crystal, and starfruit galore, a scent you won't unless you've been there before. Growing tall, they're called the Mapleberry Tree, and grant those who come near a small gift for free. The brothers were charmed by the story of the past and named their land Mapleberry at last. A land once called cursed, where few dared to tread, now offered rich soil to earn daily bread. They put out the call for all to hear, "If you want to settle here, then draw near. Boat builders, plumbers, join the crew. Electricians with bright ideas to pursue. Artisans skilled in crafts so vast. Perfumers to bottle the scents that last. Woodworkers crafting with talent so fine, chopping firewood, shaping furniture divine. From paper to goods, we'll need them all. Come earn your coins here by heeding the call. Add value to lives in the town we've made. You'll fill your pockets through honest trade. So pack your bags and have no fear. We'll be waiting for you. Come find us here." Chapter 5, Called to Belong. In a cozy little village, not too far away, a lady heard the news about Mapleberry today. Meet Mrs. Presence, joyous and round, with perfumes that astound and laughter profound. Her jolly chuckles fill the air, like a catchy tune beyond compare. She was having a cup of good quality tea when the news reached her about the Mapleberry Tree. At once she jumped from her chair, knowing she had some talents to share. She dreamed of scents from a tree so rare and flavors that danced through the air. She called up her friend so they both could go and view. She knew he simply had to come too. Mr. Sparkles was his name, oh, so bright. A unicorn's glow would be dim next to his light. He was marvelous at creating paper of all kinds. When free to create, he had a genius mind. But with no place to stay the night, Mrs. Presence faced a tricky plight. For her friend Mr. Sparkles is no camper, that's sure, so she had to improvise to make the trip one he'd endure. She pitched a tent for him, tall enough to stand, and laid down a Turkish carpet to cover the sand. Fairy lights were strung to bring gentle light, and when switched on, It was a cozy sight. A coffee maker stood ready for morning brew, and for dinner she planned a hearty stew. He was a bit of an eccentric indeed, but Mrs. Presence knew he was just what Mapleberry would need. Oh, how Mr. Butterbloom grinned ear to ear. The sight of Mr. Sparkles filled him with cheer, with hair that glowed in yellow, pink, and purple, and in his arms a most peculiar turtle. No matter the place, grandeur he'd share, making the world brighter with style and flair. He gazed up to the treetops where they meet in the sky, then smiled with a twinkle in his eye. I'll need a tall building that shimmer and shine, stretching up high in dazzling designs. All workers must love every inch of this space, not just a sad little corner, but a magical place. If you can build this as majestic as me, I'll wrap all your candies as beautifully as can be. Mr. Butterbloom nodded. Indeed, they agreed. They'd build him the highest tower he'd ever need. And so Mr. Sparkles and Mrs. Presence came on board with papers and heavenly scents in store. Now Mr. Butterbloom had to focus on his own dream and search for his very own magical team. Chapter 6 The Butterberry Dream Begins. Mr. Butterbloom, as a boy, loved treats galore with chocolate, marshmallow fluff, and cookies from the store. His mommy would frown and say, just one or two, but he'd always insist, I need all three. It's true. Mixing in a bowl, he'd create his perfect snack, crunchy, fluffy, chocolatey, never looking back. His treat was so delectable, it filled him with pride, though his brother would gobble it up without tasting what's inside. A dream in his heart began to form, a treat so delectable, it would become the norm. After many years, he finally arrived at a place where his cookie business could thrive. While the factory was ready to go, he needed the final piece of the puzzle, you know? Those who were best at what they do to join his crew and make his dream come true. His search continued for a chocolatier, and not long after, he heard of the finest one near. So he set out to find her and invite her to his team, and found the tiniest lady he'd ever seen. Chapter 7 In Search of Cocoa. Mr. Butterbloom set out to find the lady with flowing black hair. Her name was Cook Savella Crayola Contavort, but people called her Coco for short. She has the secret weapon that Mr. Butterbloom needs, the special ingredient that made Butter Crunchies complete. It was the soft yet crackling chocolate she alone could create, a recipe passed down from her Nana's estate. For his cookies to be the best of the best, he needed the finest products, nothing less. Coco was happy to have her own venture and decided to join the Mapleberry Adventure. Chapter 8 Fluff Worth Finding. Mr. Butterbloom had another quest for cookies that were simply the best. He needed marshmallow fluff, light as a feather, to bring all his sweet creations together. He searched high and low, near and far, for the perfect fluff to raise the bar. Many offered their sugary stuff, but none could make it quite fluffy enough. Then came Mr. Feathers, tall and thin, with glasses perched upon his grin. Hardworking, quiet, a man of few words, with a cat whose long neck stretched out like a bird's. His sentences were brief, no more words than three, but his fluff? Oh, it spoke magically, soft and rich, a flavorful delight. It was fluffy perfection, airy and light. "What's your secret?" Mr. Butterbloom asked. How had he so vastly surpassed? Others used sugar, some even malt. But Mr. Feather's secret was honey, by default. A bit more expensive, sure, but the best, for cookies that outshone all the rest. Chapter 9 Building Butterberry Crunch. Mr. Butterbloom's factory stood three stories high, with see-through glass where magic meets the eye. chocolate cookie dough mixed oh so sweet, while giant robot arms pressed the perfect treat. A dollop of fluff right in the middle, another cookie on top like solving a riddle. Coating sprayers covered each one with delight, in rich chocolate layers, a scrumptious sight. On a train-like belt, they cooled in neat rows, heading to the front where the tiny shop glows. A bell would ring, the latch would lift. Out came Butter Crunchies, a magical gift. Wrapped in threes, with sparkling paper so bold, ready for the shelves, waiting to be sold. In the months that followed, Mr. Butterbloom worked with delight, crafting the best chocolate cookies morning till night. A year had passed, his dream now near. It was time to spread joy to Mapleberry. So dear, the town's excitement was hard to contain. They'd watched the work and was thrilled to gain a genius creation they'd proudly own, one that would draw crowds from far and unknown. Chapter 10. The Sweetest Day of All. All were abuzz, hustling with cheer. At last, the grand opening day was here. Long queues formed, wrapping round the block, all eyes wide at the chocolate swirl shop. Auntie Mary had saved up because she knew her grandkids would want at least one or two. While Shelley broke her piggy bank with care, coins from her chores now clinking in air. Everyone wanted a taste, that magical bite. Each cookie delivered pure delight. The first day was wild, a roaring success. Though some folks' savings were left in a mess, they sold out quickly. The cookies were a hit, with people trading in line, not willing to quit. Mr. Butterbloom's treats brought smiles and more, lifting Mapleberry's hearts and taste buds to soar. Chapter 11. Business Blooms in Mapleberry. Since Mapleberry started, within a year, many had joined and settled here. They found new ways to chat and trade, swapping goods for the things they'd made. Mrs. Presence would trade her sweet scents for Mrs. Pitter-Patter's bread heaven sent. Mr. Peterson swapped his firewood with ease for chicken eggs and a block of cheese. Fair trades were made with a smile and a shake, each one deciding what to give and take. This is how they earned their daily bread, exchanging what they had for what they wanted instead. Barter trading, this was called, a way to swap goods and services of old. But if you couldn't trade what you have for what you need, you'd use the bills and coins that Mapleberry decreed. Not rands or cents, not euros and pence, but clads and clutes were the currency hints. These coins and bills were the town's fair dues, the money that everyone in Mapleberry used, a community built on kindness and care, making Mapleberry a place beyond compare. Chapter 12. Mapleberry goes global. No sooner had everyone a business to run than out of control their selling had spun. Susie set up a stall in the walkway, upsetting dog owners with no room to stray. Prices was shouted over one another everywhere, making peaceful shoppers give them horrible glares. The factory owners gathered and said, "It's a stampede out there. Something we dread. We need a better way to sell for our daily bread. A place to buy and sell, orderly and neat, where anyone could find you if your product was what they'd need." They searched the land and found the perfect spot, a lane of trees from the meadow to the forest's plot. They asked Mr. Puddles to design a big huddle to keep them all dry when the rains made a puddle. They could now sell their goods without worry or shame. Maple Marquis, they named it, and that's where all the shoppers came. That's where everyone would go to sell their wares. No more shouting, no more glares. Soon folks from neighboring towns heard the news too, and asked, "Could we get some Maple Marquis goods for us too?" As long as it came from the leftover supply, so that the town itself wouldn't run dry. Anything extra was sold to a guy. Mr. Exportius was the one to call if you wanted your goods outside Maple Marquis's walls. He charged a small fee to each eager land, making his living through supply and demand. As Mapleberry grew and grew, the number of people needing work did too. They built all the things the town would need. Schools, hospitals, and playgrounds, complete. When the rainy season came, shop doors were sealed. Doors on higher stories were then revealed. The town had learned water safety lore and how to store goods until the floods were no more. And so the story of Mapleberry goes, where creativity and problem-solving majestically flow. If you have skills to share and a dream in your heart, then Mapleberry's magic is where you can start. The end. What does Mapleberry teach us? In the story, Mapleberry created its own economy, where people use their skills, traded fairly, work together, and solve problems as a team. Common types of economic systems. 1. A market economy. Decisions are made by individuals and businesses. An example of a market economy is the United States. 2. A command economy. The government controls most of the economy. An example of a command economy is North Korea. 3. A mixed economy. A blend of businesses and government making the decisions. Private businesses operate, but the government steps in to provide services or solve problems. Examples of a mixed economy is South Africa and the United Kingdom. 4. A traditional economy, based on customs, traditions, and what has always been done, common in rural or tribal communities. An example would be certain indigenous groups. What type of economy does Mapleberry seem to have? Answer: a market economy. Decisions are made by individuals and businesses. Prices and production are guided by supply and demand. An economy can be seen as the rules of the game for how money and goods move around in a society. In Mapleberry, the economy provides business owners with the opportunity to create and sell a service or product. And what you earn depends on how many people want to buy it. Why does an economy matter? Your country's economic system affects your job opportunities, how much things cost, whether health care or education is free or paid out of your own pocket, how money is shared. In short, it shapes the way people live, work, and trade. What does an economy do? An economy helps people find work and earn money. Shops and businesses sell things we need. Governments build roads, hospitals, and schools. Farmers grow food. Builders build homes. And factories make products. The economy, it keeps the country moving. What is a producer? A producer is someone who makes or grows things so other people can buy or use them, like someone who bakes bread or grows apples. Can you find all the producers in this book that makes products for Mapleberry? What do they make or provide for the people of Mapleberry? Answer: Mr. Butterbloom produces cookies. Mrs. Presents produces perfumes. Mrs. Pitter-Patter produces bread and baked goods. Mr. Peterson produces firewood. Producers that are not specifically named: man selling chickens, the man selling eggs, and the lady making cheese. producers of services, answers. Mrs. Pigglesworth provides bank services, although not in Mapleberry. She helped fund Mapleberry. Mr. Puddles builds shelters and huddles. What is a consumer? It's someone who buys and uses the things that are made. A consumer of Butterberry Crunch is someone who buys and eats the chocolate cookies. Anyone who buys something to use or eat for themselves is a consumer. Can you think of someone specifically mentioned that was consumers of Butterberry Crunch cookies on opening day?
Auntie Mary and Shelley was mentioned as buying cookies on opening day.
Who is not a consumer? You are not a consumer if you buy it to use in your business or to resell it. An example would be Mrs. Pitter-Patter buying eggs to bake her bread. That means she is not a consumer of eggs. She is using them as part of her business to produce another product. In this case, she is a commercial user of the eggs, not a consumer. Eggs that are used in her business to bake bread are called input products. The eggs she buys for her family to eat would count as being a consumer of eggs. What is a supplier? A supplier is someone who provides the products needed to make something. A supplier is a producer of a product, but provides it specifically to someone who will use it in another product or service. Can you identify all the suppliers that provide Mr. Butterbloom with the ingredients and materials needed to complete his cookies, from the factory to the final product, wrapped and ready to be sold? Answers. Suppliers for Butterberry Crunch. Mr. Feathers, Coco, and Mr. Sparkles are all producers, but they do not sell their products directly to the public. They supply them to Mr. Butterbloom to use in making his cookies. Therefore, even though they are producers, they are also called suppliers or wholesalers. They sell their products in bulk to one person, who then uses them to make another product. What is a resource? A resource is something in its raw form that we can use to make or do things like water to drink or wood to build with. What resources does Mapleberry have in raw form that the residents can use to make a living? Answer. They have forests. Forest tree fruits that grow only in Mapleberry, lots of sand, skilled workers who can turn resources into good and water. What other resources does Butterberry Crunch need that are not specifically mentioned in the book? Think about the items they use to make and bake the cookies. Answer. Everything that the factory needs to make cookies, such as flour, ovens, people who bake them, called labor, sugar, and utensils. Resource Guide, Chapter 1, Scarcity. Scarcity means that nothing comes in endless supply. Everything can run out. It's the same with our time. We don't live forever, and we only have a certain amount of time, so we must choose how to use it wisely. Have you ever had to choose between two things because you couldn't pay for both? Have you ever decided between two sports or hobbies because your time didn't allow you to do both? That is because scarcity forces us to choose, as nothing comes in endless supply. Can you recall what scarce resources Mapleberry had for its residents to use? Answers. Rare fruits, rare trees, sand, water, and wood. Chapter 1. Opportunity, cost. When you choose one thing, you give up something else. That's your opportunity cost. Mr. Butterbloom chose to use his time for something he cared about rather than join the army. That choice had a cost, but also brought big rewards. Think of being invited to two friends' birthday parties at the same time. You cannot attend both, so you choose. Let's say the one you didn't go to had a jumping castle. Your opportunity cost was giving up a jumping castle to attend the other party. What opportunity cost did Puddles have when he chose to come to Mapleberry? Answer: a stable income and a job at the Army. Chapter 2. Spending to Earn. Capital Investment. Spending to earn means using your money to buy something that helps you make more money, like buying an oven so you can bake and sell cupcakes. Spending to use or consume. This means using money to buy things you use, like food, clothes, or toys. Spending to consume means using your money to get something you enjoy or need, like buying an ice cream or toothpaste to keep your teeth clean. Chapter 2. You can get money by working for it and getting paid, a job, starting a business and making a profit, borrowing it from someone, savers. Savers are people who put money aside instead of spending it all. Mrs. Pigglesworth finds people who have saved money and connects them with people like Mr. Butterbloom, who will pay them a fee, interest, for using their money. Borrowers. Mr. Butterbloom borrows money from the savers so he can build his factory.
Chapter 3. Money. Money is used to buy goods and services. It comes in different forms, like coins and bills, and you earn it by working or doing tasks.
In our story, money can also come in the form of a loan. If you don't have money of your own, you can borrow some from someone else, and in return, you give them a fee, called interest, for lending it to you. Mrs. Pigglesworth brings these borrowers and savers together. In return, the Piggy Savers Bank also earns a fee from both of them. All three help one another. Chapter 3. Incentives. Incentives are rewards that motivate people to do something. What incentive did Puddles and Butterbloom have to work day and night on their huddles before the rain started? Answer: their incentive to work long hours was so they wouldn't have to sleep in the rain or in their father's smelly attic. Labor market and focus. People offer their work in return for pay or to earn a profit, and they choose jobs they're good at. Mapleberry invites skilled people like bakers, builders, and perfumers who choose jobs that match their skills. Chapter 3. Division of Labor. People often specialize in doing certain jobs or tasks, which helps them become more efficient and productive. This can be explained through simple examples like how a grocery store has different workers such as cashiers, stockers, and managers. This is called dividing labor between a group of people. Why can't Mr. Butterbloom just do everything himself? Answer: because he does not have the skills to do everything. He also does not have the time to do everything himself. This is due to the scarcity of his time. Chapter 4. Entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship means starting a new business or idea to solve a problem or meet a need. Can you name all the entrepreneurs in Mapleberry? Answer: all the producers in Mapleberry who started their own businesses are called entrepreneurs.
Chapter 5.
Chapter 5. Wealth Creation. You create wealth when you make something from a raw product through smart work and ideas. Mr. Butterbloom turns a forgotten forest into a thriving business town full of trade and opportunity. He uses raw materials and turns them into something that can be used and sold for a profit. Chapter 6. Skill and Passion. Mr. Butterbloom had a passion from a young age that, many years later, he was able to use as a skill to build a business. Sometimes our passions can become our jobs. For example, if you play piano, you can become a pianist. Sometimes they are just for fun. However, if you have a skill, you have options to use it later in life. Networking and partnerships. Connecting with others to share skills, ideas, or resources. Mrs. Presence invites Mr. Sparkles to Mapleberry, bringing his paper-making abilities to the town. Mr. Puddles was someone in Mr. Butterbloom's network whom he called on to help solve a problem. Sometimes, we don't always have to know the answers, but we need to find someone who does. Chapter 7. Estate. An estate is everything that someone owns. Once that person passes away, they leave their belongings to another person through their estate. Coco's chocolate recipe was part of her Nana's estate, which she inherited and used to join Mr. Butterbloom's business venture. Your estate tells others who should receive your belongings after you die. Chapter 7 and 8, Superior and Inferior Products. Some products are of better quality than others and may cost more. Mr. Butterbloom chooses Mr. Feather's Fluff because it's lighter and tastier, even though it will cost more. It is considered a superior, better product compared to other people's marshmallow fluff. Coco also delivered a superior product to other chocolate makers. That means other chocolate Mr. Butterbloom considered was seen as an inferior product. Have you ever bought something cheap, but that didn't last long or didn't taste as good? That could be seen as an inferior product. Chapter 9. Economic Activity. Building a business means you're growing the economic activity of that town. It creates jobs and production that help a community grow. Mapleberry's Cookie Factory and other businesses all create economic activity that helps the town thrive. Think of all the people who now have opportunities to earn more money and start a business because of Mapleberry. This is how we grow opportunities and build wealth. Chapter 10. Saving and Spending. Making money means you can save and spend. We spend money to live, and we save money for when we might need it in the future or to invest and grow it. Chapter 11. Barter Trading. Bartering is trading goods or services without using money. In Mapleberry, Mrs. Presence traded perfume for bread, and Mr. Peterson traded firewood for cheese and eggs. Have you ever traded a toy or snack with a friend? Trading with money. Using coins or bills to buy goods or services instead of trading things. Mapleberry uses clads and clutes as money when bartering becomes difficult. Have you ever had something to trade but no one wanted it? You could not trade it for something else because it wasn't an item anyone needed. That's why money makes things so much easier. Chapter 11. Trade and Exchange. Exchanging goods and services between people or towns. When another group of people or town does not have enough of a product, they can trade it or buy it from another town. Currency. Currency is the specific kind of money used in a place. Chapter 12. Imports and Exports. Exports are goods sent out. Imports are goods brought in. Mapleberry exports extra products through Mr. Exportius to other towns and earns money in return. Economic activity. Just like a growing business helps increase economic activity, the same happens when goods from a town are exported to other towns. It means that excess products are not wasted, but instead bring more money into the town from nearby towns. Exports are therefore also part of economic activity. The end.